We are doing a session on body image in today's world. And the little extra piece of that that didn't get on anything that you've seen is something we'll probably not spend a whole lot of time on, but a little bit of time on. It was my tag on in relationship to our theme this summer, Heaven on Earth, and some of the issues that Scott, the director, sent out to us. So my little tag on is looking at how Western white patriarchal traditions have perpetrated exclusiveness, racism, and dualism, the dualism of spirit and matter. And now don't that frighten you men who are in here right now. We're not going to attack you. But anyway, I'm going to start out with just a couple of things I want to say, folks. And what I hope we can do is get this opened up to some sort of discussion. I think my first question that I'd like you to consider is, what is beauty? And we'll come back to that. But let you know, kind of mull that one around in your head. What is beauty? I want to tell you just a little bit about my experience. And come on up in the front row. Right smack up in the front row. Hi, are you here for the session or for the faculty meeting? Yeah, you want to go through and to the Creekside room? Okay, perfectly all right. People got confused about that. I have been in the dance world all my life, and not all my life, but since the time I was five, which puts me in the dance world for a good half a century. And, of course, people who are outside the dance world think that dancers have it all put together. We know what there is. We know about body image, and we have the most beautiful bodies in the world, and that's what everybody ought to be trying to be. I would like to burst that little bubble for you. I think that the professional dance world is a world of violence and destruction. It is a world that is violent against the body. It is a world that is violent against the spirit. It is permeated with anorexia and bulimia. And this is all because of the body image that seems to be so important in the dance world. Many of you may not know that the image is so rigid among the young girls who are in the ballet world, particularly, that they starve themselves so completely to be thin that many of them do not menstruate. And of course, we have for some years back, it's not as prevalent as it was earlier, thought that it was absolutely inappropriate for female dancers to bear children, because this so changed the pelvic structure of the female body that the body was then no longer beautiful to have on stage. I know dancers who have had breast reductions because one of the things that is apparently unseemly on stage is large breasts, and so dancers have gone about having their breasts reduced. It's not a very healthy world. Unfortunately, there's a great deal of narcissism in the dance world. And there's a certain exclusiveness and racism in the dance world that I would like to just suggest. It has taken us a long time to allow for black dancers to take on some of the exclusively white, romantic ballerina roles. I don't know how many of you all are familiar with the dance world, and you don't really have to be, but if you have any notion of the ballet Giselle, which is a, come on up in the front row. We're making a circle. Come on.
No. Oh, no. We wanted to see you.
Well, I'll turn towards you over there. anyway. Giselle is one of our famous romantic ballets. It is about and the romantic era is 19th century, 1830 to about 1860, a very, very prime time in the development of ballet. Giselle is a creature from the other world. Actually, she wasn't in the beginning, but because of unrequited love, she goes and joins all the other young women who died of unrequited love, and so they appear in white, otherworldly, very ethereal, and I do not know of any major ballet company that has allowed a black ballerina to dance that role. Now, we do have black dance companies that do those things, but it's taken us a long time, still in 1990, to get around to that. And there's a curious dualism in this romantic ballet that we still look at. Most little girls, when they talk about wanting to be dancers or ballerinas, are thinking in terms of being these lovely ethereal creatures floating on stage on point, right? I mean, didn't some of you all have images of doing that at some point in your lives? Well, there's an interesting dualism here, because part of what those romantic ballets are saying is that there's a real separation of earth and heaven. That these romantic creatures are ethereal, unattainable. They're lifted up and carried around stage by the men, and they're not terribly earthy. So it's something to think about. Okay, we still perpetrate this in our dance world, and of course the ballerinas who create those roles. Do sometimes walk around in an interesting ego state that allows them to think they're a little bit different from the rest of us. There's not been a great deal of nurturing of the feminine spirit in the dance world. It's been very male-dominated. The choreographers are very often men, and especially our American dance world has been extremely influenced by George Balanchine, a great man. For whom I have a great deal of respect, but for whom I also have some questions I can ask him since he's no longer living. But he did not, in my way of thinking, nurture the female spirit in the dancers with whom he worked. Well, that's just a little bit of stuff I wanted to say about the dance world and to try to burst the bubble of the body image in the dance world. We certainly do have... Well, we'll get to this when we talk about the male body image. Now, in my own experience, as I say, I've been in the dance world since I was 5. And I have had one of those bodies. I have had a very lovely, slim, trim body. It hasn't been, I would never have made the New York City Ballet because I'm not tall enough and my limbs aren't long enough and I have big thick bones. But I was in the dance world I have danced professionally where I have been really, really feeling good about myself. Went through an experience a couple of years ago when I had a lot of losses in my life. Lost some family members and lost my marriage due to divorce and lost some career interests and had a health problem and just a whole bunch of things happened all at once. And I found that I needed some nurturing, and so I nurtured myself through food. And that's an issue that maybe we can talk about at some point during this session. And so I put on... for my body, I put on rather an enormous amount of weight, a good 65 pounds, and I've lost a little bit of that, but I have a ways to go. And what I can tell you about that is that besides the fact that I was nurturing myself with food, which is something that I think we do in this society of ours, I was also making an effort to hide. I was surrounding myself in a body image that is not particularly mine, but there was some sense in me that I was hiding. One of the things I was hiding was my sexual being, because I was not feeling very good about myself in that area and a bunch of other areas. And I think what I want to say to you about that is what I know, certainly as being a teacher in the movement world, is that we can't hide. And I mean, we simply can't hide. We are who we are. We are in these bodies. And the first thing someone sees, I mean, one is a seeing human being, and Elmer, bless his heart, is not, so he takes in a different image, and I want to hear about that when I open up into some discussion here. Generally what happens to us, I believe, folks, is that we see someone. I mean, the eyes take in an image. And chances are we make a choice right then and there. Is this an image that we want to find out more about, or is this an image that puts us off? And that is something I'd like you to take a look at. Just think about. We really can't hide, no matter what we do. There's a statement I want you to think about, statement that I grew up with in the dance world: if you don't like your body, change it. This is a statement that Martha Graham made over and over and over again. Martha Graham, one of our major modern dancers, and of course I think what she was talking about was a little healthier than some of the things that I was saying earlier about the dance world. If you don't like the fact that you can't get your leg any higher than here, then change it so you can get your leg up there. This is going to develop a certain muscle line, and so forth and so on. And there's some things we can do to change our bodies. And as I said, people have breast reductions. I have a dear friend who's had a facelift. She looks wonderful. I think I'm a little envious. And I wonder why. There's some things about aging and sexuality I think I'd like us to look at. I'm not going to say anything much about that because I want you all to talk a little bit. I do want to say something about the matter of nurturing. There was a book that was published a number of years back called Fat is a Feminist Issue. And I don't know if you know the book, but I found it an extremely interesting thesis. The major concept that I walked out away from after reading that book is that historically in our society, women are the nurturers. This is changing, thank heavens. But women have been the nurturers, and we nurture through presentation of food. I mean, someone comes to spend some time with us, and what is the first thing we want to do? Find something to feed. Feed that person, or find some food to share. And this is not just an American tradition. If any of you have done any traveling in Europe or have any friends in other countries, you know that this is pretty worldwide. I mean, one of the great gifts of hospitality is to offer food. Well, women tend to have discovered that they need their own nurturing because we're not getting quite as much as we would like to from our men folk. And again, I think that's changing. But we tend then, when we need nurturing, to feed ourselves. And it happens in different forms. I mean, we can just, you know, snack while we're fixing supper, or we clean up the kids' plates afterwards, or we you know, sneak a little food out of the refrigerator, whatever. I don't want to get into a real thing about food particularly, but I do think there's an interesting issue there. The media. Take a look at body image as you have been exposed to it through the media. I don't guess we can look at radio a whole lot, though I grew up on radio. I don't have any sense of how we dealt with body image through radio, but take a look at how we deal with body image on television. The beautiful people are what? Skinny. Tall. Emaciated. Thank you. I mean, they're generally not real short. They're generally not tall, tall, tall. But they're sort of, you know, they have what we would call fairly Greek lines, okay? They have a body proportion where the head is in relationship to the torso and the legs. They don't have excessive piles of fat on them. They generally have what we would call pleasant-looking faces. And those are the beautiful people. And then, what? You know, I don't watch television. This is my problem. I can't talk really well about this. But who are the bad guys on TV? I mean, who are the... Think about what you see in the commercials. No? No, no thoughts?
Different race, often black. And I think of Broly. But they're violent.
Okay. Burly, and maybe a different color or a different race if it's a violent person. Sure is something that we grew up on, some of us, in our movies, in our Hollywood movies. The bad guys were not the good, clean white guys. Yeah. Was that a hand up?
Obese people are often buffooned.
Obese people are buffooned. Yeah. Who controls the media in our country? Who makes those decisions?
The liberals.
Oh, now, Elmer. Okay.
White males.
And we love you, white males, who are here. But they do. They make some of these decisions for us, and I think we need to take a look at that. Okay. Male body image. This is not something that I can do a lot of talking about, except that I am the mother of three absolutely wonderful and I think perfectly gorgeous young men. One is about to be 31 and one is about to be 29 and one is 22. And they go pump iron. And I tell them what I think about that. I mean, I think actually some of that is extremely healthy. But they all went through a period where they were trying to define their muscles. And they would come and say, oh, look at the definition of that muscle. And I would think, what is that? I mean, you know, why? Why are you doing that? Why do you want to define that muscle? I mean, to use the muscle, that's one thing. And of course, in the dance world, we're very concerned about having a muscle that's elastic. And the definition of the muscle means that the muscle can get very bound and then doesn't have movement and flow in it. And of course, I would give them my lectures, but they just think, oh, Mom, and go on and do what they wanted to do anyway. But I mean, think a little bit about male body image. I'd like to have you men talk to me a little bit about that. I mean, how do you respond to a male body that hangs out over the belly hanging out here or big, you know, big breasts maybe on the male body, and how do you respond to that? Is that an image of beauty you have?
That's not the fad according to television today. People spend money telling you how much they have lost, but that's not natural. Some people are naturally bigger, fatter than others by physique, born.
I think you're absolutely right on that, Elmer. I really do. Anybody, you know, in a few minutes, I'm going to stop talking, folks, and then you're on.
I think a lot of times it's more accepted for a man than a woman. I think sometimes that women are criticized far greater for being overweight than...
I agree with you about that, and I don't quite understand that, but I think that is indeed our experience. And
isn't that because we are more objects?
I think probably indeed that whole notion of a certain sexual imbalance in our society.
I think more women members of our church are fat than men.
You're probably right. I'm sorry. Up here?
How about does a woman worry about it more because of the security thing? I don't know whether that's a situation or not. Do they feel that, you know, they have to worry about it? I hear women seem to worry about fat more than men do.
Traditionally, women didn't have careers or other ways of gaining power, I guess you could say. Marriage was the way, therefore attractiveness was absolutely critical. And so there's a lot more pressure.
I think there is something to that indeed, yes.
I wonder if women are more accepting of people that aren't a perfect image than men are.
I'm just asking that question.
That's a very interesting question to ponder.
It's hard. I would say that in my own mind, I resolve it by saying that we are all so distorted about body image, male or female. It really doesn't matter whether it's 65 points for one and only 50 points for the other. The whole point is the distortion is what stops the reality.
I think that makes a lot of sense. I do think that there is some deep resentment among women, which I don't want to get into necessarily in this session, but as a matter of fact, some of the people who've been on the teaching staff this past week have been focusing on some of that in terms of the whole power structure of the United States and other parts of the world. I think the distortion idea is an absolutely key one. I'd like us maybe to just spend a little minute on that right now, to think in terms historically. I really wish, folks, that I had a chance to bring some things with me to hold, and I brought a whole lot of stuff for some of the dance things I'm doing, but I would have loved to have gone through some of the art books that I have and brought pictures. I mean, we have certainly had historically other notions of beautiful body images. If you think of some of the great painters of the Renaissance, if you think of some of the painters even before that, beautiful bodies were all kinds of sizes and shapes, I believe. And I think we've gotten stuck in a pattern. How do you think? Let's talk a little bit more about how you think that the images that we have of a beautiful body now, the sort of perfectly proportioned body that someone said is skinny, I like that, and for a man maybe has a sense of muscle and power and how do you think this might perpetrate our notions of exclusiveness and racism and dualism?
In 50 words or less.
Oh, you can do it in 75 if you want to.
There has been always a delight in a perfect body. Go to the Anglo-Egyptian Museum in Cairo and you will see statue of the perfect female.
Oh, but who's decided who that perfect female is?
People just naturally have a similar idea.
I disagree with you. I'm sorry. I disagree with you, Elmer, because that's only one culture. And we have come, I mean, the whole Egyptian, Greek, Roman, we've inherited some of that lineage. But what about, I mean, suppose we were sitting in South Africa right now. What would be our notion of the perfect body image?
Well, we traveled in Europe about 7 years ago, and we traveled with some girls part of the time that were from South Africa, and they were delightful teachers, well-trained musically. We enjoyed them, but some other Afrikaners that were on the same trip didn't enjoy them. But I don't think they were fat.
I thought they were beautiful. I saw them.
Yeah. You wanted to say something.
I've lost it.
Oh, dear. Come back to it.
One of the interesting things from family friends, we have some black family, some friends that have told things that maybe you don't get. But the whole image in the black society now is, or the middle class is like light-skinned blacks are more desirable, that there is even within those races, they have redefined beauty, and they have gone away from the, Negro sort of character, nose or whatever. And it's just fascinating, that was fascinating to me, that that they have that. They had been influenced also.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, Are these American
Americans.
Blacks?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Middle
yeah.
class.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Well, they're as affected by the media as we are.
Yeah, just look at the metamorphosis of Michael Jackson.
Oh, indeed.
He doesn't look like anything anymore.
How tragic. I thought he was so beautiful when he was just the way he was. Yeah. Something back here.
When I lived in Nigeria 20 years ago, they were advertising very heavily on skin lightening cream.
Yeah.
Whether that was the ads or the people, I'm not sure.
Yeah, yeah.
So it happens in Africa, too.
And is this not a way of creating exclusiveness in this earth community, when I think what we need to be doing is creating inclusiveness? I worry about that. I don't have any answers for it, folks.
I'm just getting back from Guatemala, and there was talk on the different classes and how height and the space between eyes and nose and jaw structure and color of skin was a real visual message of heritage and class, quite a discrimination. Although they all look the same to me.
Yeah, isn't that fascinating? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dualism somehow, I don't know, I thought a wonderfully book to me that's been helpful, and it is talking about, food. It's called The Obsession by Kim Chernin, a rather startling book. Come across anybody remotely with her view, but the sense that the body in either a vague way or concrete way is evil. And that even if not in a direct sense, as for instance, I mean, dark-skinned people being associated with evil, but even beyond that, you know, that sense of, because we want to control our bodies, change them, subdue them, control them, and like she talked about the sense that, you know, when we're talking about being overweight or, you know, whatever that is, that sense that the way we talk about our flesh, it's as if it's not us. It's as if it's not me. When it's me, I mean, it's this other thing that's attached to me. You know? It's simply dreadful, you know, the way we talk about it. And that really shows that dualism, and that we're really constantly battling with the body.
Well, and I believe, of course, that dualism has been perpetrated by our mainline churches. And fortunately, people are beginning to take a look at that. I come from my own personal theology, which is that we are absolutely body, mind, spirit, totally connected. There is no way we can separate the body from the mind and the spirit, certainly in this earth form. I mean, if my body were not here, I wouldn't have a clue what my mind or my spirit would be, it seems to me. And I do think that we have castigated the flesh. And I'm frankly not in favor of doing that, which is why I go around trying to get people to reconnect with it as much as I possibly can. Let's go back to this question, what is beauty? What is beauty? If you're thinking about body, what is beauty?
Being happy, to me, beauty within myself is, am I happy with myself? And of course, you can get really involved, but if you look at the physicalness of it, are you able to do the things you want to do and feel the way you want to feel? And I think that's a question I struggle with, and I think everybody struggles with, and that's when maybe all the media and the other hype can get into it. And then you try to compare yourself.
Yeah.
I think we all make comparisons.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it should be within your own self.
Yeah.
And if I feel I can't do physically the things I can, I should build up. Or if I can't squeeze through the holes I want to get through, then I should slender down or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether that's kind of simplified or whatever.
No, that's okay. Yeah.
I think what's key to his statement is the comparison issue and how when we do compare, the beauty image that somehow we all carry around with us, I believe, that a small number of people has put on the entire population worldwide, and it's involved with racism and sexism and all sorts of things. But I know that I carry it around, and I find myself comparing. But then I also have this other idea. Oh, beauty is being happy and knowing myself, but yes, but no. I mean, there's a definite battle that goes on within us.
You know,
image fighting.
That battle is something we have to take a look at, because that battle can do all kinds of interesting, destructive and distorting things to our body. What else? Anybody else? Ideas of beauty?
Being desirable.
Being desirable. Ooh. By whom? By...
Well, by more the better.
I'm not sure I want to put that down here.
Well, I don't either, but it's out there.
I'm going to put that in quotes. That's leaving your image of beauty in someone else's hands.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that what we have done?
It's exactly what we've done.
Are you saying what we think it should be, or what it,
or
is?
What it is?
Oh, I...
I guess
I'd really like to have a little bit of heaven on earth. And we need two lists.
Yes.
This is beautiful, and what really is beautiful.
Okay.
Yeah, but what makes society think something is beautiful? When I was lying in the hospital in Oslo, Norway, with a broken neck, there was a girl for a while in a specially made circular chair that she had to sleep, a circular bed that they made for her to sleep in. But she was the most beautiful person I've ever talked to.
Okay.
And
okay.
Her name was Solskjaer, mm-hmm. Sunshine, mm-hmm. I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She.
Why was she beautiful, Elmer?
She'd been in a car accident. I don't know, her voice, her spirit, her attitude.
Okay.
I like those. I'm just going to stick them over here. Okay. Spirit, attitude, okay. What else? Anybody?
I see people with an inner glow or a light in their eyes, yep. That just comes,
mm-hmm.
through.
Mm-hmm.
It's so incredible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But before, when I could see, I would certainly think physique was the most important.
Well, I'm going to put that over here on this list.
Okay.
Well, I've thought about this, folks, and I guess I have my own little definition of beauty, and you know, I'll just say it to you, and then I think that we can play around with it. You can rewrite it. You can do anything you want to with it, but... when I'm talking about beauty, I guess I'm thinking about a vibrant, vital body, mind, spirit in harmony with self and radiating wholeness and love for self and others. How about that?
I'll buy the harmony and balance idea, so that's good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I want to read to you two quotes, which are, and then I want to do something. These are biblical quotes. Genesis 26, then God said, let us make man, sorry about that non-inclusive language, but that's the way it still sits in the Bible. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. And in verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. I don't believe that God is exclusive. And I don't believe that God has a particular idea of what the perfect body image is, or he would not have created me the way he has, or created you the way he has created you. She has created you. It's another one that I like. This is from Psalm 139, verses 13 to 14. This is David writing, you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I like those. And I would like to take, well, we have a little bit more time for discussion before we go into this next little thing I want to do. I want to ask you all something.
Can we just point out, we were thinking about the other psalm.
Oh.
That's why we groaned.
Oh.
The one with alabaster breasts. Remember that one? One of the notable inclusions.
Well, you know, there are some real problems that I don't think we can resolve today. But there's an incredible passage in a book that actually Shirley MacLaine wrote. I mean, sorry about that. But it's a passage where she is, and I've forgotten which one, which book, but one of the first two, I think, because I think those are the only ones I read, where she's describing. She's talking about one of her black friends. She went and worked with the civil rights people in the 60s, and he sat her down and talked to her about his own problems with whiteness and blackness and this society in which he has grown up, and how everything that is good and perfect and on the side of God is white, and that includes white women, and all the bad stuff, the evil stuff, is black and dark. I mean, we do have these images in our language. We have shadow as something dark and black. We talk about the Christ light, and we all have the image of that being white. And I don't want to not have these lovely images and symbols, but I think we've got to take a good look at how this affects some of the people in the world. And I cannot believe that the black people in Africa are not as much God's children as we are, and that the red Native Americans the same, and so forth and so on. What more would you? I want to talk about aging. What do you all think about the aging body?
It's hard to take. I mean, you wish that you could preserve some of your youth and be like you always were.
Mm-hmm.
And do all the things
mm-hmm.
you could do.
Yeah. Why, Marie?
No, I guess it's because we're ambitious. Our mind wants to do all these things that our body's incapable of.
I think there's another reason. And I think it's because
we want to live forever. We want to look beautiful as long as we are living.
We also live in a very youth-oriented culture that does not place value on age and aging, and does not see beauty in a face that has earned every line, that has worked for all those beautiful wrinkles. And there are some societies in which age is valued, and I think there's a whole total, there's a different
Oriental,
attitude towards.
Oriental people value age differently. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think in some sections of our country, we found where we live, where there are a lot of retired people, you know, they're having more activities for them, and they're being more active, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. They're more accepted,
mm-hmm.
too. I think it's true all over.
I think the baby boomers are changing the way we look upon aging. I feel
different. About 20 years.
Right. I think things are going to change. That there will be more of a more positive outlook.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You can think of age as a state of mind. A 25-year-old can be old.
That's certainly true. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I agree with you completely.
I find it. I don't know if terrifying is too strong of a word, but I was pretty near horrified when I saw on this program there's some sort of modeling, it was on Oprah Winfrey or something, some modeling contest for some new look or something. I was having my TV fixed, so I just got a glimpse of it, and that was all. But these young girls were parading out, and I think they were around, I don't know, 11 or 12 or somewhere around there.
11, 12 maybe, and they had full makeup and their hair was done, and the image of beauty has gone, the age is going down, lower and lower. I mean, I, something else I read about recently, fourth grade girls are now dieting, seriously dieting, fourth graders in the Bay Area they're talking about. And then a Halston ad that started putting something in, suggesting that one even from a very, almost, you know, very young age, almost, you know, three or something, some, you know, almost infancy is thinking, you know, gearing toward this whole image and this youthful thing. So I think there are positive changes happening, but on the other hand, the beauty, this, the image of beauty in youth is actually getting it's getting younger and younger, more and more unreal. So
we see more products, and more products have put off age, hide age, all the creams and the different things you can.
Well, you keep talking about they. I would only point out that you are the they, and if we stop buying those things and refuse to buy into a line that, well, let's see, the market is saturated for this product, let's develop another one and convince you to buy it, you've got a tremendous amount of power in your pocketbook.
There's such a battle going on. You know, there's a wellness emphasis for all of us, and I think that's going to change the way we look on aging also, the wellness issues of body, mind, and spirit, and not only feeling good physically, but spiritually and keeping your mind sharp. But as strong as that emphasis goes, we know that on the other side of it, there's going to be the emphasis for what you're talking about and, you know, what you're saying too, of the cosmetics and the beauty. So the wellness, the aging, the retirement centers, the that emphasis will grow, but on the other side, there's the battle.
Technology.
Yes, technology and emphasis, it'll be right along with it. So, as one grows, as the positive grows, the negative is right with it.
Well, I, you know, I don't have any answers, folks. I mean, I don't have any answers. I just am here to facilitate this kind of discussion. I happen to be concerned about the consumerism. I mean, it seems then in this culture of ours that it's perfectly awful to have any kind of natural smell. I mean, we've got to deodorize every area of the body now.
Don't want any natural hair except on top of our head.
Right.
Well, you shouldn't be too much concerned. We have a daughter that at one time liked to wear a wig when she was in high school.
Well, I think, you know, we all go through those phases, Elmer, but I think that there are things that you know, we really need to take a look at as we use chemicals to get rid of odors, and how do you feel when you walk into a different group of people? I mean, you know, I happen to live in Seattle. I live in the central area of Seattle. I am surrounded by a black culture, and we have this notion that black people have different body odors than white people. You didn't grow up with that notion?
No.
Oh, I did. And sometimes I'm actually aware of it. Mm-hmm. And because I happen to be around someone who hasn't bathed in a long time because they haven't had an opportunity to bathe. How do we feel about that person?
It's just what they eat. I mean, in different cultures, you go to different countries, and like certain countries, they eat a lot of garlic, and so like
it comes through the skin.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, it really does. Yeah.
The thing that gets me too about all this is my debate is the time that you have in life, and you're spending increasing amounts of time. You know. It's bad enough as if, you know, shaving your legs and all this, but now I'm going to dye your hair, and as you get older, you're going to, you know. It really, I know women, this has always been interesting and a challenge for me. I was in a sorority college, and it gave me a great opportunity to watch these women who sometimes spent, you know, sometimes 2 hours. There were some women before they would go to class, and they did, and that's that's another thing, is what else could we be doing? It's an investment of, 2 hours of...
There's a theory that I would like to suggest that you all take a look at, and maybe it's an inappropriate theory, I don't know, but I think one of the things that we do by being in tension with ourselves about our own body image is cut ourselves off from our own spiritual development. Just consider that as something that might be happening.
Say more about that.
Yeah.
That's
as an item? Body image as an item?
Well, if I am in tension with my own body image, if I don't like the fact that I've got 35 pounds on me that I would like to get rid of, I put off being truly in the center of my spiritual path because I think I'm not quite ready for it. I'm not fully prepared. I haven't done enough to be accepted into the kingdom. And I wonder about that sometimes.
Luther's fight all over again, huh? I'm trying to get to be the right, to do the right things.
And yet I believe that we are made in the image of God all along the way. I mean, I just don't believe there's a time when we are not able to be right there in the center of our spiritual path.
Was God skinny or not?
Well, what is your image of God? I mean, folks, I would like to spend a few minutes in a guided meditation on body image. And if you're comfortable with this, I would like you to just kind of sit here, take things out of your laps. I'm going to put a little piece of music on, and I'm just going to give you a little guided meditation. I'd like you to close your eyes. Kind of just sit easy and comfortably. Feel your feet on the floor. Feel your body here present in the chair. Terribly uncomfortable chairs, but that's just what we have here. I'd like you to breathe. Just focus on your breathing. Wonderful gift of breath and spirit. As much as possible, find yourself relaxing. No particular thought in your head. And I would like you then to see in your imagination a clear space. Very open, very warm, very wonderful space. And you can color it any color you choose, or you can put in it some trees or brooks or whatever. I want it to be so inviting that you find yourself in that space. Just walk right into it. Space, I'd like you with gentleness and tenderness and love to see your own body. There might be some mirrors in that space, and if you don't want mirrors, just see it with your imagination. Just look at it. And acknowledge that there might be some parts of your body with which you are in tension. Parts that you think you might like to change if you could. something that seems too big or too little or too old or too withered or too out of proportion or something that you just kind of always wished you could change. And into this space then, where you are with gentleness and tenderness and love, looking at your own body, allow the Christ light. Bring that incredible Christ light into this space. And let that light speak to you . Let it shine throughout your entire body, into every cell, every muscle, every bone. And really hear that Christ light telling you that you are made in the image of God. And as you hear those words spoken by the Christ light, you are made in the image of God. Let the feelings of love and wholeness and healing spread and permeate through your entire being. And breathe with those feelings. Breathe in and breathe out. And then I'd like you very gradually to let the light go, knowing that you can always bring that back. And find yourself leaving that beautiful clear space and gradually coming back to the fireside room in Koinonia. And when you feel your feet again on the floor and your rumps in your chairs, and begin to open your eyes. I'd like you to open your eyes softly. And look at your own body. Really look at it with those soft eyes. And look at it with wonder and with love. You might even touch it. Acknowledge those parts that might have come up for you when you were in that special place. As your eyes become more open and still soft, I'd like you to begin to look around at every beautiful body in this room. and acknowledge that the Christ light in you sees the Christ light in everyone else, and that your beautiful body acknowledges all these other beautiful bodies. And I'd like us just to stand and take hands. I guess I'll have to come over there. Can we make it around here? Well, I guess we can. Mm-hmm. And if possible, put the left palm up, please, and the right palm down.